From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, April 13th. I'm Abby Larico. A new manufacturing facility in Rolla is looking to bring more jobs to the region and change the way things are made.
So, like, from design to testing, it can all happen here under one roof.
A trip to the Protoplex coming up after this news on The Gateway. New data shows that immigration arrests across Missouri have spiked since President Donald Trump retook office last year. As the Midwest Newsroom's Luke Nazika reports, ICE arrests have nearly tripled compared with a similar time frame under President Joe Biden.
More than 3,200 people from nearly 80 countries have been arrested by ICE in the last 15 months in Missouri, according to internal ICE data obtained by the Deportation Data Project. That's about three times the arrests during the last months of the Biden administration. Sarah Ruiz is the executive director of the Oshre Foundation. She says the primary tactic ICE uses in the St. Louis region is local police.
So we have a really extensive police to ICE pipeline that is serving to funnel thousands of Missourians into the detention and deportation machine.
ICE maintains it is removing criminals, while immigration attorneys say the agency is regularly detaining people following traffic stops. I'm Luke Nozika, the Midwest Newsroom.
Illinois lawmakers have passed a measure requiring that detention centers used by federal immigration officials in the state be at least 1,500 feet from certain areas that include schools, homes, daycare centers, and parks. House Speaker Emanuel Chris Welch is leading the charge. His district includes the Broadview Center, which became a flashpoint between ICE agents and protesters during the Trump administration's deportation sweep last fall.
This bill is not about politics. It's about people. It's about the little kid at daycare who should not grow up around chaos. It's about the family in their home who should not feel like they are living next to a crisis zone.
Republicans are opposed, saying it's yet another example of Illinois picking fights with the federal government. The bill now heads to the Senate. A federal court has put an end to the city of Page Jail's historic consent decree, which prohibited policing for profit. The U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Missouri ended the order after 8 years of court oversight, citing reforms to Page Jail's excessive ticketing, fines, and municipal court practices. This resulted in reduced fine revenue while disincentivizing financial incentives. The Institute for Justice sued the city of Page Jail back in 2015 on behalf of the city's residents after alleging a pattern of systemic predatory practices. In 2018, the consent decree took effect. Roughly 6 years later, revenue from municipal court fines dropped by nearly $160,000. In a statement, Institute for Justice senior attorney William Mars said, quote, "Hopefully, Page Jail will now serve as a leader and a warning. Cities can move away from these unconstitutional practices, and they should," unquote. The St. Louis County Jail director says the facility is overcrowded and understaffed, but that efforts are being made to improve those conditions, which led to a failed inspection last year. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wimbley reports the jail is hoping to pass a follow-up inspection this summer.
Jonelle Coleman says the jail is down 80 officers and over capacity by more than 30 detainees. She says the lack of staffing causes employees to be overworked and minimizes the amount of time jail residents have outside their cells.
I'm an advocate for residents' rights. I'm an advocate for mental health. I want to give them what they are supposed to have all the time, but we are somewhat hindered by the staffing shortage.
The American Correctional Association is expected to return for another inspection in July. Coleman says they're prepared. They've made strides to ensure detainees are fed hot meals and added more cleaning crews. I'm Lucretia Wimbley, St. Louis Public Radio.
Democrats in Springfield want to impose a tax on Illinois' millionaires, but they're split on what to do with the money that tax would generate. There are competing efforts to put a constitutional amendment on the fall ballot to impose an additional 3% tax on those making $1 million or more annually. Democratic State Representative LaShawn Ford is sponsoring one of those amendments and thinks the estimated $4.5 billion yearly windfall should fund $1,500 rebates for each property owner. But State Representative Natalie Manley, another Democrat, has her own millionaire's tax amendment, where proceeds would be split between property tax relief and schools. Both Ford and Manley's measures need a supermajority vote in the House and Senate by May 3rd in order to go before voters this fall. The ferry between Grafton and St. Charles County, across the confluence of the Mississippi and Illinois rivers, normally just runs spring to fall on weekends. But after Grafton recently acquired the ferry, the city plans to run the boat back and forth all year long and 7 days a week. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer takes us along on some of the first rides of the season Friday morning.
On the banks of the confluence, Grafton Mayor Mike Morrow addresses a small crowd.
What a great day for Grafton. Woo! Let's give a hand.
The year-round service has long been a goal of his. A recent state grant helped the city buy the ferry from the Calhoun County Ferry Company for about $800,000. On the way to St. Charles County, Grafton resident Rebecca Livingstone says she uses the ferry for both pleasure and to get to and from doctor's appointments.
Oh my gosh, just the time that you save. It's amazing. Save 30 minutes at least, driving down 270, you know.
As long as the weather cooperates, Livingstone and others will be able to ride the ferry all year long. In Grafton, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
A portion of the Brickline Greenway officially opens today. The almost 1 mile stretch along Market Street connects Energizer Park and the Harris Stowe State University campus. The segment also includes a new portion of Pillars of the Valley, an installation by artist Damon Davis that commemorates the demolished Mill Creek Valley neighborhood. The stretch is part of the $245 million project by Great Rivers Greenway to connect Tower Grove Park to Fairground Park and Forest Park to the Gateway Arch. Greenway leaders say the paths will make it safer for pedestrians and bikers. They expect to complete the project by 2030. A new exhibit is celebrating 50 years at Laumeier Sculpture Park. Begin Again, 50 Years and Counting is taking a look back at some of its artistic commissions and rare archives. Juan William Chavez is the park's 2026 visiting artist in residence.
It really was a big introduction on what like public sculpture out in land or out in big space really looks like, feels like. And as a young artist, it really gets your imagination going.
Chavez made his comments on St. Louis on the Air. Begin Again, 50 Years and Counting is open until December 13th. A new 117,000-square-foot building on a hill overlooking Interstate 44 in Rolla is about to open. The facility has the ambitious goal of making the region a growth area for manufacturing. STLPR's Jonathan All reports.
Heath Rainier graduated from Missouri University of Science and Technology a few months ago. The mechanical engineer now works for Solvis Global, a company working on additive manufacturing. It's kind of like 3D printing, but with metal for products including airplanes and mining equipment. Rainier says it's the future of how to make things.
You can make a one-off part in just a matter of, a couple weeks. So from design to testing, it can all happen here under one roof in less than a month.
The roof in question is the Protoplex, a building bigger than two football fields, filled with manufacturing equipment, labs, and even a foundry. Missouri S&T, the state, and other partners are hoping it will bring a modern approach to manufacturing to the campus and the entire region. Rainier says that mission is a big reason why he took the job with Solvis.
Kind of the whole overarching theme of the Protoplex is to bring manufacturing back to the U.S., and I am a big proponent of that. I feel pretty passionately about it.
The Protoplex will have space for companies to design, manufacture, and test a wide range of products and parts, make sure they work, and then take the proven technologies and methods to expand product lines and services. That means eventually building their own production facility nearby. Rick Billow is S&T's Director of Advanced Manufacturing. He says the United States used to lead the world in making things, and it can again when innovation and research at the university level are combined with private industry seeing opportunities in the marketplace. Billow says Rolla and S&T can be the place to merge all those things together and develop the people needed to make it work.
that pipeline's not only for engineers, it's for technicians and it's for production workers. And so we team with the community college because they do specialize in providing techs and production workers.
The Protoplex already has four partner companies with full-time employees that work there. The selling points to get them on board include access to equipment and world-class research done by faculty, as well as space in a brand new facility. Diraj Faisal leads the new business ventures for Solvis Global. He says he sees a long-term future in building on what they do at the Protoplex.
The rural region like Rolla offers lower cost, operating cost, and strong technical competencies that we can bring locally there. So Rolla is definitely in the middle of all this that we are focusing on, and we see a long-term value to that.
Solvis has three full-time engineers in the Protoplex right now, is looking for a fourth person to lead the team, and will eventually look at hiring technicians and operators. And the plan is for that workforce to come from S&T and community colleges in the area. Rainier, the S&T grad, is from Belgrade, a town of about 290 miles south of St. Louis. He says he doesn't have any desire for his career to take him to bigger cities or one of the coasts. He's happy in Rolla.
It's close to home. I like the area. I lived here for two and a half years while I was going to S&T. I enjoy it. I think it's a good place to be.
Do you see yourself possibly staying here long term?
Definitely.
And that's exactly what economic development and civic leaders in Rolla want to hear. There are companies looking to invest in the area, bringing in high-paying jobs, and employees who want to make the region their home for the long term. In Rolla, I'm Jonathan Aul, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Jessica Rogan edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.